know if they can hear that, but
I don't know. Usually they can't when we're just dancing on. Save me.
I'm going to play a little bit of it in case Facebook wants to kick us off, right? Ah, but that's my boy. That's Andrews. He goes by, but Lee Andrews.
That sounds good.
Oh, man, he's killer. He did that song there with Stellartronic. But, oh, man, if you're listening, people, look that up for sure, man.
Yeah, you should post the link in the feed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely will. Lee's been on the show, too. Lee Andrews was on the Cognitive Rampage.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was he promoting his music? Like, was that what the topic was, or was it something different?
It was actually pretty cool because now Lee has been, I'll give you the backstory, right? I always got a story to something, right?
Yeah.
Now, Lee, I met Lee through Danny, actually. He's my best friend, the guy I was referencing on the live video I just did there on Facebook. And I met Lee. He was a downtown staple, if you will, in Orlando. Now, he was an artist. He could musician. Mm-hmm. Played a guitar. He was just a cool cat, always down hanging. Worked in the clubs, too, as a manager type thing. You know, did his thing. Kind of like Danny and I for a while. But his dream was always playing music. And that was who we were listening to just before he went live. It was that Just Feel Good. I can't sing. Funny. I'm terrible. But that was his first album. That one, oh, I love that album. I still play it. It's on YouTube if people look that up. But it's called Just to Feel Good. Danny put me on that too.
It's definitely feel-good music.
Oh, man, he's chill, man. And what was cool, back to the story. I scrolled off. But he went out to L.A., you know, as every musician, you know, not every, some dream in Nashville. But he goes off to L.A. and he tries to follow his dream, right? I say try, but it's a grind, right? So it's a grind, doing all kinds of music and love, heartbreak. You know, he was always a loving type guy, you know, put his heart into stuff. And I don't need it too personal. Anyway, he was just on this creative journey, you know, and I wanted to reach out about the time the podcast was kind of kicking off. He's one of the early episodes, like 30 or something.
Maybe that's why I didn't recall.
Well, that's probably why he did the podcast, trying to help a brother out. And anyway, he had just really recorded this song, the one I was just playing with Stellartronic, this little single they put out. And they were hoping it was going to do good. He was going on this little tour, this kind of thing. And I remember watching the video, the views on that one video I was playing, the Stellartronic Lee Andrews.
Yeah.
And I Just Can't Wait also is the name. But I watched it after he did the show. Not that the show did any of it, but his song took off, right? Because we did the episode.
Everybody has a kickstart somewhere or something that has some sort of impact. You never know.
Well, no. It was the fact that he was talking about how he was excited that this could work out, you know, that this, he's really happy about the song. It was releasing, you know, doing this tour. He was really excited how it could work out. And boy, did it. You know, it took off. And, you know, he went around the world doing his thing on tour. That song blew up, man. And I just thought it was really cool. There's nothing more. Well, there's a lot more that I love seeing. I hate that line. Right? There's nothing more than I love seeing the people that I love or friends succeed at something they love doing.
It's so great when you get to see or know the person in the beginning of their journey, you know, because then you can really appreciate where they are. So many people probably have no idea when they're looking up at that person singing and they don't realize how many bars they closed down, how many birthday parties they missed, how many anniversaries they screwed up.
Especially in the music business too.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a grind.
And two, that was the cup. It just like rattled.
All right. I thought it was Grace. I thought it was Grace growling.
No, but it did scare me a little.
Yeah. And well, I mean, the music business is rough, man. And, it, you know, hats off to Lee too, man. He's still doing his thing. Or Andrew, sorry. We have to call him.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah, he went Prince.
It's like you calling me Pat.
Yeah, he went all Prince. I would never call you Pat. Yeah. It's like he went all Prince and just like next he'll be a symbol. Just like, hey. And AG, but he, you know, his music's killer. But I love listening to that. It's always it reminds me. It's always chill like that.
Yeah, it's definitely an upper.
Yeah, it's funny. Amazing new sounds in the new home. And now what's funny is that no one else will hear this when we record it. We put on iTunes, etc. Uh-huh. What you hear so sensitively in the mics that I'm hearing too, it sounds like a Transformers.
Isn't it that thing in the closet?
It's the thing in the closet. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Beach houses take beatings for sure. And there's just a box in the closet that is connected to the AC that, well, sounds like a transformer once in a while. And but what you'll find, though, is what I found is a lot of times what we hear.
There it goes.
Yeah, it's off now.
Yes.
I was giving the listener a chance to notice a difference. Yeah. You know, but most of the time, they don't hear anything. You know, what you'll hear, and you're like, oh, no, that's going to be on the recording.
And, yeah, and they're like, what are these dumbasses talking about?
Yeah. The mics aren't baller mics, but they're really good. They're like up close, they pick up a lot of stuff. And if you're listening with the mic in present, it will. But once it's downloaded, you don't hear it.
I've found myself when I hear that sound randomly making up stories as to what that noise really is happening behind those doors. One time somebody was blow drying their hair.
Somebody.
Yeah. The next time I was imagining someone sanding surfboards.
Yeah. You are quite creative when you want to be.
you just thought I'd share that.
Yeah. You start attaching meaning and stories to a moment.
You go, oh, there it is. Oh, gosh, it's so annoying. Can I reframe it?
Well, I think that's a healthy way of thinking, though, to be creative. And how often, though, in kids, right, is it curbed this imaginative thinking? Is really pushed to the side, you know, whether they have an imaginary friend, right? We don't want to walk down mental health impacts of that later. But, you know, the creativity, it's stifled the minute they hit, you know, public school, if you will. That's going to be stifled. My breathable oxygen is being stifled by that jasmine incense right there. That's all I'm breathing. And I'm like, I'm real calm.
Jasmine.
I'm calm. But it gets stifled, you know, the allowance to think creatively like that, to create the movie or the story in your head at any second, right? I mean, that's why you paint, right? You've been on the show on TCR on the corner painting, et cetera. But
yeah, I'm not quite Mr. Is it Ross?
Bob Ross.
Yes.
How fucking cool is it that Bob Ross painted here in New Summer and a Beast? Look.
This is his last place he painted. Yeah, he owned the shop over there for 2 years before he died.
Yeah. When you told me that, when you said, look, Bob Ross died here, I was like, I'm doing something right.
Right. That's very true. I mean, if there's anyone in the world and people associate calmness with, it's him.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could just get there probably is one, a Bob Ross app to go to sleep to.
Oh, yeah.
Where
probably.
He's walking you through a painting.
We should do that. We should put together one of those where we just do our own voices and tell him to go to sleep, Patricia.
Oh, but Bob was the shit. He was so, look, now what we probably don't know is behind the curtain, he's probably some savage. He was probably some animal savage.
He wears those leather straps underneath some spikes.
Yeah, he probably was.
His hair, he turns it into a lion at the evening.
Oh, not
that it wasn't close.
Hey, I'm not, no, this is all just joking, people. Bob Ross was the shit.
Well, of course we're joking. We love him. You know that there's a class you can take to become a certified Bob Ross instructor, and it's $500 a week.
$500 a week to be a Bob Ross painter.
Yes,
certified.
Yeah, certified, yes.
Well, how he's dead? How's he certifying my shit?
Maybe he left some good notes.
Yeah, I think that's cool. You could sign up to be a Bob Ross person. But you know what?
It'd be cool to say I was at his shop and I'm certified.
Yeah.
You know, if I was at, you know, Walmart in Kentucky, it wouldn't be as great. But if I went to the shop that he used to own where he passed away and all those things that would, you know, were his happy place.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. Okay.
I mean, if you know, want that little token,
I think it'd be
maybe
better.
Maybe that could be in my signature and emails.
Patricia Bob Ross.
Certified. Yeah.
Certified Bob Ross. I think he'd do better as a mental health class. If
true.
Bob just taught a mental health class or a behavior class, hell, there should be some Bob Ross program in prison, you know, where they're painting and you're walking through, you have to talk like this dude. Like, you got to talk like, and the trees are so happy. This is a happy tree.
You know how sometimes that makes people that are angry more angry, though?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So in jail, that might be like the last straw. You know, there was this like, I'm not happy. I'm here for life. Like that dude was saying the other night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was like, we've been watching these prison shows.
You're gonna put it out there. The sleeping material. If we're just trying to chill from a heavy mental day, come back from the beach, do whatever, eat dinner, lay down, and you throw on Lockup. What a beautiful sleeping material.
Yeah. It's a good conversation. I mean, we actually really engage in conversation about like the prisoner or what we think about their family before they show up to come visit them, or you know, at the end of the show, they say what's happening to them. Or what happened to them. So it's kind of like where you predict, oh, yeah. You remember that time you were like, oh, we'll see him again. And I was going, oh, no, he was so sincere.
Well, it's I don't know. I watch it, like you said, from a behavioral, you know, psychology standpoint, looking, it's so easy to see so many things wrong with the system that we're processing people through, mm-hmm. you know? So as I'm watching this, I'm going, all you got to do is just watch a half a season of Lockup and you can go, oh, that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
That's
just
it.
Just one episode.
Yeah. You don't have to go far to go like, this is seriously mental health issues here, sir. You know, and our answer is to then confine the person, right? Mm-hmm. The mentally ill person has thus been bad, has acted as like an animal.
What do you think of this? Do you think it's a good idea that they're putting the camera on them and allowing them that spotlight?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
See, that's how I felt. So yeah. You kind of go, we learn that. And so
a lot of it's acting out.
Yeah. Oh,
but think about it. When you're in jail, there's nothing to do. So you make something to do the moment there's an opportunity to be involved of some kind to find purpose or something.
Oh, yeah.
So cameras, hell yeah. Now, if it's done hidden camera style, it'd be different, you know?
Oh, totally different. Because remember, a couple of the guys in the background were like, dude, don't be trying to play that just because the cameras are on.
Well, even this, though, do the fact that the cameras are on and the CEOs still respond like they do.
Right.
Makes me go, what are they doing when the camera's not on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When the camera's not. Now, I get it. You know, your life's in danger, you know, be this cop training, too. And, you know, while we're on this Pandora's box of what the fuck, you know, I watch it and I kind of go, what do you do? Right. You obviously can't just ex-nay jail and just do something different, let everybody out. Right. They tried that with deinstitutionalization. That's why everyone left the mental health wards and are now in prison.
Yeah.
Which will be part two on the Cognitive Rampage, the history of mental health, coming soon. Thank you for that. but I think the training is where an issue could start. Because I thought for a second, remember I asked you, I said, you know, these CEOs should have to go through 30 days in jail.
Yeah.
Now, it may not
experience every end of the spectrum of jail.
Yeah. And I don't think you put them
without the soap.
Yeah. I don't think you put them in danger in actual. I think you have a mock jail that's made, 10 mm-hmm. cells, whatever. But they're treated as such by other people.
Superiors.
Yeah. Other COs are treated. I mean, are talked to, get down, cuff up, shut up, yeah. sit down. You talk to that way just for 30 days. Just for 30 days, you talk mm-hmm. to that way. And experience what 22 on isolation is. Experience what 22 means, which is you and the six, you know?
Yeah.
And they should feel that. Because I think if you take an empathetic approach to the prisoners, I don't think that makes you more vulnerable, right? Because the argument becomes their life's in danger. They could be killed at any minute, and they are. Granted. Can't you, isn't the essence of martial artists is to be empathetic, but aware and not be the aggressor, but yet for them, it is, right? So
yeah.
They're training martial arts to do the cell extraction. What the fuck? He's in a cell. What are you going to do? Put him in another cell? You know what I mean? It's like, just leave him alone. Why do you got to extract him? You know what I mean? And so when the training, I think, becomes more empathetic, you know, to where the person may have an understanding where they're in, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's a criminal, right, let them fuck with your daughter or someone you love, right? You'll see.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying rapists and et cetera need this kind of temper. You know, there's special wards for that, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You feel like it's not separated enough?
Yeah. It's not. Well, one, yeah, the mental health is not separated enough. Now, it's racially.
Oh, I don't even think that. Yeah, it's definitely racially separated, like they were saying, how you forget that you were a white Crip. Now you are a white boy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the Asian guy. He was a Crip. And then on the inside, you know,
he said right when he gets there, he chose to be Asian instead of a Crip.
Yeah. They choose the culture. I think it's, there certainly needs to be areas where the 10 times one that's not changing. Right. There's some cool programs to try to early intervention to start, you know, stop people from getting in the system.
What if they practice your idea with every career? Wouldn't you hate to be a labor and delivery nurse?
Oh, my God.
You know, you'd have to give birth. Know what it's like to give birth. And you're like, okay, instead of putting your leg this way, let's go ahead and put this there.
Right. Oh, no. I've been there before.
Yeah.
A lot of them have, though. Much shit. A lot of them have. Am I generalizing? Yeah. I'm going to get emails.
No, sometimes though, a lot of them that are there, I just use the same thing that you used, but are the ones maybe that don't get to experience it themselves. So they choose that career path.
Yeah.
Because it connects them that way.
That's true. And and we say, be careful, right, what you watch when you're laying down.
Yeah.
You know, so from The Sopranos, I like the fact that I'm thinking about being locked up sometimes when I'm driving to Orlando. When I'm back in Orlando and someone cuts me off or I'm upset, I'm just like, you seen Lock Up? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, man, I don't want to go back.
You know, for me, if I were to be thinking the same way when we watch it, the female's prison seems so much different than the male's. It's like one giant, disgusting slumber party.
Yeah.
Everybody that didn't have somewhere to go after they partied the night before crashes in the same shithole.
Yeah, it's a stark difference.
They're all like on their bunk beds and doing makeup and hair and
less racially divided.
Right, yeah, for sure. And they don't show on that particular show, so I'm not saying in real life that that's way, but they don't show much violence, right? All they seem to have shown is their... how they're torn with their relationships.
Yeah, I think it's
more like a drama thing, like a relationships and where they're at emotionally. And with the men, it seems like they're just showing nothing but anger.
Yeah, well, and there's games to be played. So imagine we are, you know, your make-believe person in the closet with the sound, right?
Yeah.
So come up with gang life, rankings, disrespects, make this a game, if you will. And that's why, you know, it's rough playing a game. And so it gives you something to be a part of, something to adapt to move through. You know, a lot of those guys in there have no family, right? Not a lot of link. And so it's this game, if you will, to give up. It's something to do. Without that, what are you doing? You're hoping the game doesn't kill you. And either way, you're hoping the game doesn't kill you. So, if you play, at least you got something to do.
Yeah. And also, you know, when we're watching it, you kind of say to yourself, well, what would you do? What would your move be in that game? You know? Yeah. And I have to say, some of them, I would probably make the same move that criminal made.
Yeah. Well, first off, it'd be not to go back there. Decision I made.
Yeah.
A certain decision I made. Definitely.
Well, like the dude that was saying that person was basically going, it's him or you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, yeah, I love
it. You never know.
What you know what really does fuck me up, though, about any issues that happen within the prison or the jail are these little mini fucking wannabe courts. This lady and a guy.
Yeah.
And so there's not lawyers, there's no judges. They work for the jail most of the time, or the state or the county. Yeah. And they come before this little one room, tiny little room, three people
and
board.
And they pretend they're sifting through the notes.
Yeah. They're not reading anything. And then they just, and they give a punishment or a judgment to this person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is not due process.
Well, they don't just do that either. They also do the verbal abuse. Like, how about just going, okay, this is what you did. This is the consequence.
Yeah.
You know, and then being done with it. Or I mean, I sure you got to make it some sort of personal, but you definitely don't go, yeah, you've said that before. Get the hell out. We're going to do this. And, you know, it seemed like they were mocking them. And the second they left, they showed their real personalities.
Yeah. And I can say there's a lot that irks me about this shit. You know, other than the due process and all the other things wrong with the criminal system and the jail system, the way they're treated, processed, or not treated, I should say. it's when I see the families that show up and the dad or the mom is behind glass.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's for some bullshit, you know, some marijuana charge or drug issues, mm-hmm. you know, or theft due to drug addiction, mm-hmm. you know, something or, you know, even if it's, you know, identity theft, these things that all it's related to addiction. You know, if you're seeing that and the mom or the dad is, you know, 4 or 5 years in and out or doing 15 or spent 15 in and out, you know, and this, the child is coming, you know, it's hard to even say, at least they're going there, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not, the dad's not there. And they say almost that he's half there or not. I mean, even the little bit that he's there is worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that's crazy if how I would take that, but it's almost worse, you know?
Yeah. To me, it seems like everybody, that's the quickest solution for no matter what. And all they're doing is delaying the real problem.
Yeah.
You know, the second they get out, nothing was really addressed, that addiction, that, or even that addiction to violence. You know, none of those things are addressed. You're just putting it on hold. You're making them more angry.
Here's your $50 piece.
Yeah.
Here's your $50 and inability to fill out a resume.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
Yeah.
You know, that's a full on, just, it's all, you know, whether
I
it's
liked the idea you had about the military, though, them being the officers allowing them to do that because they were already pre-trained, and it wasn't like, because, you know, one of the kids last night that was a guard, he was like 12. He looked 12 and his maturity level seemed just to match.
Yeah.
But he was probably 21. But he didn't have the whole lot of experience when it came to that, you know.
He looked like a teenager. He looked like a teen. There's a 21-year-old boy. Yeah, you're talking about that 21-year-old boy. He was a kid. And I think I was like looking at these, well, even the guys that are a lot, I'm sorry, I can't help but notice. I'm just going to say this. Okay. When you're watching Lock Up and you watch more than one episode, it doesn't take much to see that it's a whole bunch of fucking white people in khakis and uniform guarding a whole bunch of minorities and tokens on either side. And I can't help and go, does anyone else not see this shit? And I mean, you see it, and all you gotta do is watch the fucking show. Well, hell, watch it 48 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watch all any of that. And it's easy to see. And I forgot, I got scrolled off on the reality of what I was watching. But it's, the training of it. Mm-hmm. And so some guards that you see, all racial ends, doesn't matter. Been on the job 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
But 400 pounds. 320 pounds.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily look like they would win in a fight.
Or much less win in a fight. They're going to fucking kill somebody, hurt somebody, get killed. You know, it was bad. And yet I'm watching this 19, 20, 21-year-old cadet who looked like maybe he'd been in a fight with his brother.
Right.
You know, and he's at the prison. He's at a state prison.
Well,
he was.
And that
crazy
big guy looking at him like, I'll snap you, boy.
Oh, yeah. It's like I would eat you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm doing four consecutive life sentences.
Yeah, I don't have anything to lose when I break your neck.
You mean 20 days in ADSEG? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. You know, I want to change it. You know, it's terrible. So my solution was, you know, a lot of these military guys that come home, it's difficult for them to find jobs. You know, a lot of people talk about hiring the military, and some do. Some companies really advocate for it. There's a lot out there, and my hat's off to them, but a lot of them avoid them on the executive level, on sales level. Now, I know just business owners that avoid it because of temper issues, reliability issues, and a lot of times they're dealing with PTSD and they've been hit with pills, chemical incarceration. You know? So an idea is to a way to almost bring them back to society, if you will, is you give a less hypervigilant, but still hypervigilant environment.
Yeah.
That they're at a lot of the time, you know, and then they're on the leave, right? They still call it leave. But now you're going to put COs in a place to where, frankly, the guy who's gangster, who's been there 20 years, who's hard as fuck in and out of prison, what's he going to say to a Marine that's done 10 years in the Middle East? You know what I mean? It's like, boy, you ain't seen shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to say anything. Can't say that. No, that Marine's going to be like, seriously, what are you going to do? Yeah. You know, are you going to aim it at me sideways? You know what I mean? I think there would be this mutual respect between, you know, the prisoner that's there. And plus, I think the military guys would be able to look at the prisoners and be empathetic.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, the system was fucking me too when I got back. You know?
Definitely, though. I mean, the positive side would be probably half of them would be less fucked because they had a job waiting for them. That's, you know, I know that they offer other incentives, of course, you know, like with the mail service, all that kind of stuff. You get extra points and things like that. But that would be great if it was preferential.
Yeah, I think you're immediate. I think you actually work it into a way to kind of desensitize even to where you're bringing them home from combat.
Oh, I wonder how that would affect them, though.
Well, look at level 5, right, as being combat. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing them into a place that's level 3, right? Yeah. So rather than try to put them from level 5 to level 1, they wind up in prison anyway. You know, they're just wearing the other uniform. They're wearing the orange or the blue.
Yeah.
So just transition them, you know, as through counseling, through transition. Hell, you can have the COs that are military coming home with PTSD working, helping the prisoners. Right. That are coming through it. Imagine you work some sort of buddy system.
Coach them through it.
Yeah. Or you know what I mean? Because look, a Marine right there, they're going to leave no man behind type. This is how they feel.
They do have that passion that they can kind of be that big brother.
Yeah. And they can help. Mm-hmm. And when they help, it helps them. You know, so work that into the prison. You know, hell, work guys from prison into the military.
I think that and possibly animals like dogs, you know, like puppies. something that makes them have to be nice. You know what I mean? Like to where it calms them down.
Yeah.
Not to be the type petting, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something, you'd have to change the environment, the lockdown prisoner.
Like reward system.
Yeah. You'd have to definitely change it. You know, now I'm not talking for 2-time convicted murderers, rape, you know,
no.
Givens, like that's, I'd have a prison called the Givens, you know what I mean? Or an island. You know what I mean? Like, look, these are the Givens right here, man. It's island. Sorry. And a lot of those people may not have become those people. Was it not for the beginning?
Until they were there.
Right. But it's the beginning of the system. But you got to admit, sometimes you're like, motherfuckers broke. I'm just, look, I said that once as a therapist. I almost, you know, I want to be like, look, dude, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. You're going to find some way to get back right where you are.
Doctors like giving him 6-8 months to live anyway. And he's trying to fight addiction. Yeah. At the same time with the things that's been, I'm kind of like, man.
Yeah, you almost go, here you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, what do you tell a guy? It's like, hey, get clean, right? Don't have any fun. Go to meetings for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, just incorporate in your life. Hang out with your family anyway. You know, just do something. But I don't know. There's times, I guess, what do you do, right? The lifeboat, I used to ask that to people, is the lifeboat holds 15. There's 20 of you.
Yeah.
Boat's going down. What do you do?
I start this card game and get rid of 5 of them.
you know what I mean? You want to see?
Allow all of us to eliminate ourselves. So it is, you go in there, pick out the 5. Whoever picked out those 5, goodbye.
Who's picking?
Everybody picks 1.
What if the picker all of a sudden gets picked?
Baby, the cards, if you pick the ones that they said.
Cards, you're going to pull out a deck of cards real quick.
Something like that.
What my
I'm
point
making
is
the story.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, well, my point is the ship goes down. Everyone's on the boat. It only holds 15. You got 20.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go down here in a second. You want to see a real human being? For me, that's what, 2 ways you see a real human being. Give them one of the first original desktop computers and dial up. And let them go on the internet.
Yeah, true.
Wait a second. You'll meet them for real. Mm-hmm. I think it was Leo that used to joke all the time that your first date with somebody should be on a slow computer.
Oh.
And you're trying to use
you
the slow.
You get to see their history?
Well, no, you get to watch how they respond to the waiting. How you respond to the twisting.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Motherfucker, is this fucking friend? Wow. You're like, there they are.
Yeah.
Oh, nice to meet you. So on the first date, it's roller coasters and a slow dial-up computer.
Mm. Yeah. See, those 2 things wouldn't make me crazy.
Well, first it's the dial-up computer, right? You got to just sit for a minute and wait just to see the real response.
Yeah.
If you get through that and you like it, stage 2 is, this is actually some of Leo's science too. He likes to talk about is, and some other science. We're worked into, it's funny. I tagged this, the science of love is, people, you know, I talk how people connect in fear, right?
Yeah.
So that adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
So if the first date per se may sound nice, right? With he took me to dinner, right? We went for a walk on the beach, right? I'm just giving generic, right?
Sure.
So someone would say, yeah, that'd be great. And someone else said, we went and rode this roller coaster. There was like this crazy high one. It was intense.
Yeah.
And we did that. I would tell you that the couple that finished the roller coaster, if they got through this slow computer phase, mind you filter 1, and there was a sort of an attraction, right? Given both were like that.
Yeah.
The one at the end of the roller coaster is going to feel way more connected and faster and feel like, man, there's something about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you share in a fear and a vulnerability together, like, holy shit, we did that. You feel connected. And so Leo would say the first day would be a slow computer and roller coasters. And then wait a year and then you'll really know them.
Yeah. The year when they start to get tired of being something they're not.
Yeah, I often question Leo's science behind the year, to which there's none. But it sounds good. And the idea is that he would call the first year of a relationship the job interview. So, and it gets pretty rough. He'd say at the end of 1 year of being with somebody roughly, you're going to know who they really are. Don't make up your mind about who they are, right? You know, sometimes in the beginning, we lust after someone and we confuse that with the person they are, right? You're like, oh, I'm just physically attractive. You don't say that, right? Mm-hmm. They just feel something. Is you kind of see through that, right? Is don't make any judgments. Is you're on a job interview, even yourself. And I like how he says, we don't put our worst foot forward, do we? We don't show up at the job interview and be like, frankly, I'm late most times.
Unless you meet in a state of vulnerability.
Right. Right. Sure. Right. There you go. When you're opening up. So the idea is, he would say, is the first year is the job interview. Mm-hmm. Around that year or so, you're going to meet them for real. And I would throw in my mom's advice is, when people show you who they really are, believe them.
Yeah.
Although I could argue that too, because what if the 6 months were really cool? Is that really them? And the 6 hours, just, that's who they really are, right?
I think all of these are circumstantial.
Oh, sure. And then he would say, at the end of the year, if you're not willing to go to that next level, which would, you know, be that any social construct you want to pick, or your own subjective, whatever that would be. If you're not willing to go to that level,
yeah,
end it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, end it. Yeah. That's what most don't. That's mm-hmm. where most kind of go, I'll try this for a while. And it's 2 or 3 years. And then they're like, fuck. You know what I mean? And then I hear my mom again, be careful who you date. You never know who you fall in love with.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
That shit stuck with me.
Well, very often, when you're not in your mind looking for a relationship, you do date people you don't want a relationship with.
I see the purpose.
You know?
See, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one you're like, I'm sick and tired of living the domestic life. I'm going to go find me some wild boy that doesn't care about anything. Right. And you're like, he's a loser. He doesn't care about nothing. The stereotype or whatever, you know? And you go, oh, where's my wild boy?
I was thinking about, like, how many times I've been the wild boy and what the person would want to do with you on a date most of the time.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, well, you want to go to a movie because you don't have to fucking talk to him. And I was like, I've been on a lot of movies. And I was like, damn it. I'm no one loves me.
Shut it. Well, nobody loves you, but someone does.
Thank God, because my tooth is missing now.
That their tooth don't mean nothing to me, baby. I swear. The other night, I thought it was great thing you did.
Oh, you like how
I just didn't think you'd take that fantasy so far.
Well, I'm just saying. Well, you like how I discovered the thing with the. All right. All right.
I suppose we're allowed to be like that.
That'll be, he says, she said, after dark, Sunday nights at 8.
So we haven't even really talked about the fun stuff, the fact that we live here now.
Oh, yeah.
Or did you already kind of throw that up on the cognitive rampage?
Oh, I probably verbally diarrheaed and verbally threw up a lot of things about that.
Meaning, did you let it out about this place?
Well, no, on that episode, the most recent one, I really liked that episode, by the way. That's the one you were painting in.
Yeah.
You were in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it.
And, I thought that was fun to do,
mm-hmm.
But I really used that just as a tipping point to talk about the influence of our environment.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get to the environment that you feel like you want to be in, or at least try out.
Yeah. It's right on. I certainly have more of a desire to put on sundresses.
Well, I wanted to, you know, I'm going to ask you an elongated question so you have time to marinate. I wanted to put you on the spot and, we'll really ask you, for you, mm-hmm. I know you told me a long time ago you always want to live at the beach, right? But for you, as far as the environment versus the changes, you know, recently or even a year, whatever, what's it been like here for you? What's it? I don't know. Walk me through the mind of Patricia. Not that hallway. The other hallway. The other one.
Okay.
I know where you're. Yeah.
All right.
The other one.
Well, first of all, you're talking about my experience just here in Florida or here in New Smyrna?
Yes.
Okay. I came here, of course, with an open mind because of the things that are also surrounding, not just you, but also because I have always wanted to live by the ocean. It does provide me a really good feeling when I do go there. The smell of it, the people that are walking around, everybody seems to be the ones that I like to observe. I should say not everybody, but the ones that I like to observe, they're able to be by themselves,
yeah,
by the beach, and not appear to be depressed or like, what are they doing? Oh, poor them. They're all alone. I mean, think about it. When you look at people that are alone on the beach, you don't go, yeah, she's single.
That's true.
You don't go, he's, oh, that poor guy. He's surfing all by himself.
That's fucking true.
And so That's why I've always enjoyed the beach, is because I can do that if I want to and not feel like judgment.
Mm.
So that being said, it was an easy decision for me. the way that we tried where we initially first lived and stuff like that. It was fun for me to get to know different areas. And also in the title industry, you kind of like search around. So it was a good experience. I wouldn't do it again. Not that particular area, not that particular place. You know what I mean? I'm like done with that. So I did not look back. But when we got here, I know that I enjoyed the fact that we both were kind of looking at it like we get to paint or create what we want out of this little shack. And it's not a shack, obviously, but it's, you know, it's a small two-bedroom home.
It's cooler when you say shack. Just add beach shack to
it. I was going to say surf shack, but...
yeah, that's way cooler. Damn it.
So it's been fun putting different... Like the other day, I was looking throughout the house and going, you know, sometimes you can walk into a couple's house and you go, well, he doesn't have a say, you know, or the reverse where it's nothing but like real masculine looking. You can't really tell if a female lives there at all. And not that a female can't like masculine things, but no matter what anyone says, there is a female touch.
We have a half naked chick on the wall.
I was like, they can see down.
Yeah.
Just kidding. So anyway, and the fact that the beach is literally 2 minutes away. So the days that, you know, maybe we have something going on, it's free fun. You know, you can walk over there. So I found myself, it's hard for me to be sad. I'm excited for my kids to come and visit. My girls are coming in May for Mother's Day.
Shout out, Carmen Alexis.
Yes.
Come hang.
Yes. My lovely boyfriend had something to do with that.
I'm going to turn them into beach girls.
I would love that. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be excited. They're ecstatic, but I'm excited just to be able to do nothing with them.
Yeah, you brought up a point in your mini rampage there about the idea of knowing you can, right? Mm-hmm. You said that, you know, I can if I want to. And there's a lot to that. And when you talk about the difference in the environment, you know, you've told me before that we just would come here anyway. You know, where we want to be. So the idea that, you know, you and I just went and walked a little thing over there, you know, the other night. And it's like, fuck, this is just after work. You know, the fact that you can, sometimes you don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that you can, you know, is there. It's been a huge change.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a giant trip. I mean, even, oh gosh, any dog lovers, animal lovers. Hell yeah. When we take the dogs to the beach, I'm going to videotape it. It is just ridiculously fulfilling to watch the joy in their bounce.
Yeah, you take them off that leash, man, and just pew, and I tell you the
it's
place
just like, oh my gosh, I just won the lottery.
I don't want to give away the place, man, but I'm telling you, the place is so dog friendly for the most part here too, is everybody's kind of open, you know, to that, as long as you're picking up on all that stuff. But it's kind of, it's rare to find by the beach anymore, you know. Most people, it's condos and HOAs, even. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I haven't missed the sounds of the lawnmowers and the the buses and all that other stuff. I haven't missed that.
God, I'm telling you. Well, the human adapts, right? So many people that have lived, you know, we lived in a good little suburb like that. Mm-hmm. The human adapts, you know, to the what they hear and a constant. And holy shit, I couldn't wait. I was just tired of hearing the continuous landscapers, just the lawnmower and blower working from the house. It's just
and then the evening concerts with Disney.
Oh yeah. And then I got the fire. Well, you can hear the fireworks, isn't it great? No, not every night.
Such
no.
joy.
I'm like, did the Russians show
that
up?
That was a good one.
Some Red Dawn shit happening. I'm like, what the fuck? Are we down? I'm calling my brother already. Got the, you know, it's just firework. But it's how much the car with the bass. Mm-hmm. Which I love, car with bass. That's just cool. I dig it. But I don't want to hear it in my crib. And that's cool. I'm down. I play my music loud. But it's just so much in a suburb you don't realize is happening around you in the still moments.
Yeah, it was pretty constant.
Yeah. There's because people live working night shifts, you know, it's just going. And, you know, I just realized that. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little harder transition, but thinking about going, oh, wait, I enjoyed the night so much over in Orlando because the mornings weren't that good. We could look at an oak tree and stand under it. There you can find beautiful spots. I
like your sitting area there.
Yeah, we had a cool chill spot.
It was a good setup right there.
But when you're thinking, man, the earlier I go to bed, the earlier I can get up to catch the sunrise right there. And I think, what is two minutes and 3 seconds? You're like, I'm going to do that. You know, and it doesn't take that much. You know, And in my mind, I always thought that, you know, it has to be a certain financial level to move to a place like, and you're like, holy shit. If you just really, you know, make a fucking plan, like I talked about on the other thing, you can get there.
Well, you can end up just like spending your money on different things, you know, instead think about how often we would try to find something to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for that here. You go down the street.
Yeah. Or you can just watch our podcast.
Yeah, we entertain ourselves.
We have four of them on the Cognitive Rampage Network, adamlowry.com. You can find the Cognitive Rampage on iTunes. You can find the Canacast if you just look up Canacast on Facebook. And you're watching He Said, She Said now. And coming next week, it'll be episode 2 of The Fight Life, hosted by myself as well. Again, you can go to adamlowry.com. I'm fucking around. I'm just kidding.
You're fucking around?
No, I'm just kidding. Are you messing with my F now?
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. I lost my tooth, y'all.
Dang it.
Yeah, if you're watching this thing or you saw it on Facebook.
Right? I'm so bad. Let's see who's here. Who's watching us?
Angela. Alex.
Hi, Angela. Your baby is so cute, by the way.
What's up? Alex, getting it on. Nicole.
And she also cut her hair cute, too.
Drive safe, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, you two. Driving and listening. In that case, Alan, please turn left at the next exit. I mean right.
Rerouting. Somebody's really like, oh shit.
Remember when we were talking about that? We were saying that wouldn't it be cool if we had the person that was like, hey, baby girl, you need to turn left, okay, boo boo? It's coming up. Don't miss this turn.
Change the navigation. Yeah, towards.
To where it's just said, Adam, you're going to turn next.
Yeah. Hey, baby.
Right after you do this.
Mm-hmm. That would be good, right? Just love directions. That's what we call it.
Yours, I said to you, I'd be like, oh, great. We'd have to really screen yours. Yeah.
Love directions after dark.
Yeah.
Hey, don't miss it, boo-boo.
Yes. I would be so attentive. I'd be like, shh, I'm listening.
Hey, I hate to turn your music down for a second, but your turn's coming up. But don't worry. I'm not like them old navs. You got like a mile. You're good. I'm going to remind you a little bit. You got more than 200 feet. You're good. Man, you look beautiful.
See, I'm going to have to start now and start saying stuff I'd say.
No, I meant that. No.
Oh,
I'm just trying to get
point. I think you made that up.
Point, Adam. Well, we were talking about the environment of trying to get to a place, right? I actually had a question I was going to ask you about. You know, how many couples, right? And I'm sure you did. I did it. We did it, right? When you meet somebody, you kind of meet them. Let's see if I can describe it properly. You meet them kind of forwardly, right? I know I have to use an F again. And it's fucking up. But my gold tooth will be in soon, people. But you move forwardly, and where you go, what do you do for a living, right? What do you like to do? Where do you, you know, this is where we start, right? And we kind of move forward. Do you want kids? Do you have kids, right? We kind of move forward, kind of like, all right, we're growing, learning up them, if you will.
Yeah.
But let's talk about in a job interview, right? If you met somebody, how many people actually have the conversation while they're dating or together? They go, where do you want to end up? Like if the conversation is, where do you want to die?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, geographically, you know, where do you geographically like to be? Where would you like to die? Where do you want to end up in this motherfucker? You know, and I don't mean cremated or buried, you know, I mean, whenever it comes down and maybe work backwards from like, where do you want to end up and what kind of life do you want to have until then?
And, but you might want to just maybe verbalize it different.
Well, I'm cutting to the chase.
Okay. If some dude was...
I'm not going to give him all the hints. I'm giving the cliff notes. You know what I mean?
I said, some dude. Some dude. I didn't mean that to coerce you.
My F's are impressing, you know, so you're now doing it. No, I can't give him all the notes. I'm giving the cliff notes. Because if I walked into him, we're like, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Baby girl, I know probably a lot of people haven't asked you, but I know we just met. It may be intimate or whatever. And I'm asking to be vulnerable, really. But, you know, where do you want to end up in this thing? You know, instead of meeting you forward, if I could just meet you backwards, right? If I could grow old and young with you, you know, where would we be ending this thing? You want another drink? Okay. But where'd you want to end up? You see?
But I'm telling you, that is so delicate because it would really have to be the right person delivering that because funny as fuck if it was some dipshit. I would really go, when you find your tooth, come back.
Well, it would be on the follow up. It would be, I see what you did there.
I know, I'm just teasing.
Let's try to keep the gloves up.
I know, I'm sorry. I was just joking. I love you.
I know, it hurt.
Okay.
No, but if it would be the follow-up, right? You knew they meant it if they had something more than a follow-up line, because if you could come back with more than the typical, you know, it'd be like, all right, I'll take that on. And you greeted it, the response to that would be the giveaway.
Yeah.
You know, whatever their response to that would be like, you just playing around, you know?
Right.
But if you work backwards, and so many people work forwards, yeah, I want to be married. Yeah, I want to have kids. Yeah, I want to buy a house. Oh, yeah, I like to go to the beach. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Where do you want to end up? If we do make it to 60 plus, where do you want to end up?
Right.
And how do you want to live before we get there?
Yeah.
Answer that question before we even fuck, before we do anything, because we may like how we fuck, but hate where we both want to go.
Yeah, it's a miserable life.
And I don't want to know that you fucked that good, but we can't see eye to eye because I'm going to try it anyway.
Yeah, and then you're going to go, I guess I could live in Arizona for a week.
Right, you're going to fuck that shit up. Yeah, and then you're like, fuck, right? So
I can't do it.
No, so you work backwards. Kind of how do you want to live in this thing, and where do you want to end up?
Well, it's kind of like that, though, with just about everything before you really dive into these things mentally or emotionally or whatever. Like, because that one thing we're listening to where the family just totally screwed it up for that couple, you know, gentleman was white and he was dating a black girl or African-American girl. I remember how he said it, but he was very, but anyway, he was having trouble with the family not liking him.
Yeah.
So do you have to research all that?
And he had a baby previously with a mixed or interracial relationship.
Right.
And it was kind of just open like that. And that's right.
Yeah.
She was, and her was her dad and her brother.
Her dad, her brother, basically said, dude, don't come at me because you ain't shit to me and you never will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, we're like, fuck you.
Yeah. And I loved Bill Burr's advice, though.
Yeah. Bounce.
No. Remember, he said, first of all, try comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I liked that because, you know, you don't want to bounce just yet because what if she's ready to,
that's true.
What if she's ready to leave? You know what I'm saying? So she.
Elma fuck. Elma fuck.
Yes. Yeah. See, you can make fun of me there now.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So anyway, what if she wanted to leave, you know, so you could at least try the M&M route where you make fun of yourself.
Yeah.
And where it almost makes them feel uncomfortable, where they're like, yeah, maybe he's not so bad, you know, and then you could build that bond there.
Or you're going to get killed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty
or
of
beat up.
Right. Yeah. But maybe that's all it would take too. You never know.
Yeah. Or eventually you get beat up and she goes, well, I realize this just ain't going to work out. I'm sorry. And you have reconstructive surgery on your jaw.
You know, this is kind of a side joke, but we do that. I was thinking about this. I wonder how many relationships have broken up over their pets.
Man.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah,
I was thinking about shared.
Well, you meet some people. I won't date a man with snakes. You know, they have history.
Well, I'm talking more along the lines of the relationship with the pet and the pet owner and the dog and the dog.
Oh, that's sad.
You know what I mean? Like if they don't
like the breakup connect, who gets the pet?
No.
Oh, the pet.
I'm saying the couple connects, but the person doesn't connect with that person's pet.
Oh.
Like, because, you know, with kids, it's like that.
What do you just look at the clock and go, all right, Fluffy, you got 8 years left.
No, but what if, you know, what if that person, they just, you can just tell where they go. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe you should listen to your dog. Maybe you should be like, I like you, but my dog doesn't. I'm going to pay attention to that.
True.
Yeah. I think you listen to your dog on that one. I do. I think you keep the dog, ditch the person. Cause if your dog's growling, there's a reason.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
That's true.
There's a reason. Yeah. I try to be nice to the neighbor. Gracie wouldn't go over there.
Oh, no,
I'm going to listen.
That's true.
I'm going to listen.
She wouldn't.
I'll tell you a story I haven't told you before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Now, mind you, I was doing tons of psychedelics and cocaine and ecstasy at this time. So, whatever. Side note. I had a house in Claremont. We lived on this little golf course thing. Mm-hmm. You could walk out to the tee box, whatever. But it had a short fairway, like a par three. And it just went to woods, really. And all of it back was kind of the woods. And it was my brother's house at one point, too. And my brother had his golden retriever. Rest in peace to you, Captain. And Captain, like, he found my phone.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, Captain. Well, he was named because he was the color of Captain Morgan.
Oh.
As a golden retriever.
Yeah,
same
cool.
color. But Captain was the shit. He'd be the type of hunting dog so smart that he would race toward the duck with the other dog. The other dog would go into the water, grab the duck, and as soon as the dog would get into enough shallow water,
yeah.
Captain would take the duck. and then take the. I'm like, this is my kind of dog.
Right. I was gonna say, it's yeah. definitely a Lowry.
I'm not doing the swimming. You go get it. Yeah. Right. And anyway, Cap was cool like that. And I always listened to Captain. I was kind of younger too, and he was coming up. But head captain went out back and was just kind of out running around in the woods like a kid used to be. Right. And I wasn't young too. I was, I don't know, 18. Yeah. I don't know. And we start running kind of into the woods, and it gets kind of creepy, weird, like this feeling.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I probably watched too many horror movies right now. But I'm imagining this now, but I've already thought it. Thus, I'm feeling it. Yeah. So I'm just, even though it's self-created, probably. Mm-hmm. And Captain's kind of running, and I kind of turn around, and Captain has already left. Captain has turned around and started running.
Oh, shit.
And so I did the same and bolted all the way back, back to the house, walking like, Captain just took off running. And now there's no climax to the story because we have no idea what the fuck.
Well, you guys share that fear.
Yeah, well, Captain didn't even tell a brother. And then I thought, my Captain would have let me know.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And I thought, I don't even know. And the Captain was just like, you know, he's like, hey, man, hey, what the fuck? It was like cartoonish. The ghost shit was gone. Gone, man. So, oh, yeah. All in all, listen to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your dog doesn't like the person you bring home or is dating, go with that.
Yeah, that would be, your situation would be scary.
Yeah.
Because you know, they know. Something. They hear something. They smell something. Like you're at home and they just are staring in that corner or something, and you go, what the hell is there?
Yeah. See, I think we judge everything, right, from a personal standpoint, right, arrogantly, as intelligence is being related to what we're able to do, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's kind of odd that we look at things as being alive or not alive based on if they do what we do,
yeah.
if it moves. Right. If it breathes, is a clam alive? Mm-hmm. People would be like, yeah, but it doesn't have feelings. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it doesn't do, you don't see eyes. You know what I mean? Well, what is the separation, right? Between what's alive and the behavior of what we see. And there's a point to this that's left the building. You got to bring me back in.
Oh my God.
You got to bring me back in.
Oh, well, I can't bring you back in, but I can put you somewhere else so you can remember.
Nice.
You have to miss it to remember it.
I guess.
Okay. So I have a question for you.
Oh no. All right.
After that happened to you with the surfboard and stuff like that, you know, hitting you.
Yeah, it beat me up.
Did that encourage you or did that slow you down as far as like really getting out there? You know, you know sometimes.
Let's go now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And board wise, do you think it was the size of the waves or, you know what I mean? Like
it was all of it.
All of it.
All of it.
Is that your favorite?
It's rarely though that, see, that's a lot of things in life, right? It's rarely the one thing we tend to look for. Well, give me the one thing I can do that'll change my life.
Yeah.
Give me the top three things I can do. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. Cause we can't, oh, you know what? It's that one thing. This is what's causing the problem. I love it when people tell me they got to think about something for a while and I go, well, think about this. You can think about it for three years and whatever you come to at the end of that thinking about, it's still going to be hypothetical.
You know, what I just was trying to do was try to make you talk about something else so you would recall. So my...
Almost got me there. I we were close to the door.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Darn we were it. Close to the I door, so sucky. I went with it and just kept talking about it. And then I lost the door.
Well, I can tell you one thing that I haven't shared with...
We're talking about relationships though, right? What's difficult to deal with, right? If somebody, the pet doesn't get along... Listening to the pet.
Oh, and then we were talking about what they can sense, the dogs can sense, and the fear that you experience.
What we see is communication or not.
Okay.
And thank you. And what we see is communication or lifelike or not, right?
Uh-huh.
So we may look at a dog and say the dog only, it's smart. It's smarter than a clam for sure, right? Mm-hmm. It's smarter, but because it only knows a little bit of my language or I can teach it words or behavior, et cetera, like that. But I would argue this, that dog can hear shit you can't hear. From a lot further away.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And let's assume there's just shit we can't see and hear that's just not in our zone.
Sure.
And the thing that may can't move as fast as we can may sense that one thing that we can't.
Right.
You know? And so to then judge it as its intellectual level or its life level. I'm like, Jesus, man. The arrogance of that, right? So that's what I said. If the dog is telling you, I guess I'm re-emphasizing the point. Listen to your pets.
Yeah, I agree. I think they can definitely sense, even if it's just positive or negative vibes, you know, where you go, that person's not right. Maybe even if it's that person's not right for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that initial interview is it's really hard, right? To walk into something though, and not work backwards, and not really go, because hell, most of the time in our own lives we don't work backwards, right? We're taught to work forward. First, I get this, and then I'll get that, and then once I have this, and then I'll be peaceful. You know, we build forward.
Yeah.
We rarely build backwards. We rarely build backwards. And to be in a relationship, to go, you know, before we even go to dinner, before we, you know, text for all hours of the night, or talk, you know, let me ask you a question before, you know, before we even mm-hmm. dive down in this shit, you yeah. know, is where do you want to end up in this thing?
Yeah. Or at least their major outlook on, you know, what their, what do you say?
Well, I think morally, right, match up morally or believe, right? You can have values that match up. And I agree. You can match up on all those levels. Mm-hmm. But those morals, values, whatever you want to base it by, you know, they can take you to other roads. You know, you can still have family values, right? Have yeah. all share these same things. But truthfully, you want to live in a beach shack somewhere away from most of a lot of people gathered. Mm-hmm. And you can also want to live in the middle of the city and have yeah. that same idea. You know, and live in the woods and have that same idea, or live in the suburbs, you know, and have those same values, shared ideas, whatever, routines, etc. But I don't know. I'm just a firm believer of go live where the fuck you feel that peace.
That's why I encourage for people to look, or not necessarily look, but allow themselves. What the fuck?
Deleted.
Allow themselves to be more open-minded when they go do like group events, co-ed events in an atmosphere that they like to be in, you know, like if they like to play sports, if they like to go to the beach, whatever, when you are in those places where you actually really enjoy being,
yeah.
look around you to see who those people are, to see if that would be someone that would, you'd like to share that specific place with them.
Yeah. Instead of like forcing the environments like online dating yeah. or.
Like I'm so glad when you and I met that there was attraction physically, you know what I mean? It wasn't just, online or, you know, or,
we weren't
or
looking.
Something like that. Right.
I wasn't looking.
Oh, I was looking to go to sleep.
You know what I mean? No one was looking. And, I don't know. I think it works two ways, right? Even that in my book, right tomorrow, you're looking for a Corvette, right? Yeah, if you're yeah. going to buy a Corvette, all of a sudden everyone's got your Corvette in town. There's not been an influx of Corvettes. You're just looking for it, you yeah. know? And if you two people are on that same page and they're looking for it, or they're online dating, maybe looking for it,
right.
you force that issue of going, oh yeah, I was going to order the same thing. And you're like, well, there's two things on the menu. You know, 50-50 shot there.
Yeah.
You know, and but we find correlations that aren't there. You know, we find, oh, look at that, you know, coincidences, and build mm-hmm. those up when you're looking for things. People run.
Yeah, you're trying to manipulate it.
Yeah, people tell you find what you're looking for, you're not looking for it. But then people also tell you know what you're looking for and go looking for it. Yeah. What the fuck do you do? You know what I mean? It depends on, do you like Pepsi or Coke, bro? Well, neither, but that's what it comes down to.
I would say be open to it. Don't go look for it. Be open to it would be what, because think about it. If you continuously go around like, oh, it's never going to happen. There's nobody that exists that's going to be like close to what I would enjoy, things like that. Then I would have never found you.
Oh, that's sweet. Are you sure?
Yeah.
We can edit this later. Don't worry about it.
No, you know that there is not one perfect relationship or perfect person out there. And so to me, when I'm weighing out to whether or not I want to spend a lifetime or a weekend or my valuable time with that person,
yeah,
I do consider all those things before I'm going to say yeah or be aggressive on it.
Yeah, that's why I honestly wouldn't waste any time dating someone that I know I wouldn't be with anyway. Because oh, yeah. I'm technically wasting my time.
I've done that before.
You know what I mean? To where you're just going like, because it's fun, I will, but I know I won't. You're like, well, dude, on all that time you're having fun there, you may have met the one that you would have.
Yeah.
Or at least guilt-free.
Right. But, you know, sometimes too, though, that is like, I'm not encouraging it, but it does kind of reassure you that you know what you like.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are afraid. I was too. I'm guilty. I'm no pulpit here, man. It is after that year, let's say, right? Where you go, I probably would not marry this person or go to the next level, whatever, again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that. And yet, it's another year or two. And you still wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, after maybe if they just, and Leo would say, even if you're like, if they just, No, you just need to go. Because now, if they would just, then I would. Mm-hmm. If he would just, if she would just, and then we could. You know, like, wow, man. No, now we're shaping ice here. You can sculpt ice, I promise. But that's just going to melt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can do that. You can make a sandcastle. It's going away. You get it, you know? And, but I think a lot of that's so hard because a lot of times at the end of that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
People, they still like each other. You know what I mean? They still like each other or they dated or they, no one's really done anything, you know, to where they're like, there's couples I can think of. I'm just not putting anybody out there, right?
Yeah.
Is no one's done anything, but cool. It's yeah. fine. But they both know.
Yeah.
And rather than just go, they go the other way and mm-hmm. they go, oh, it seemed to work out pretty good, you know, and
yeah.
they flow with it because it's hard to tell that person even at the end. And I think so many people try to hate the other person
mm-hmm.
before they leave.
Well, it's less guilt feeling when you go, there was nothing wrong with you. I just didn't like you.
Yeah. That's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so wrong. If you think that if you get to hate them or if you think hating them will make leaving it easier, it'll make that day leaving easier sort of for a second.
Yeah.
But then it sucks because A, you feel bad you left that way and you wish mm-hmm. you didn't. And B, you're after a while, all you remember anyways, the little bit of romantic times and shit.
Yeah.
Even people that are treated really badly tend to romanticize even after time. So now you just think you're an asshole. Right. You left mean. All mm-hmm. you do kind of remember after time is some of the good. You remember the bad, too. Don't get it wrong. And you start to kind of go, oh, fuck, I could have, you know, then you call the ex one day. Right. Then it's some shitty mm-hmm. instead of just this. No, you just cut that to a right then. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Instead of letting that grow.
Yeah. We were talking about that on the last one a little bit. The people that intentionally drag it on until they can replace them.
Yeah. And you won't. It won't be easy. It won't be easier. You know
yeah.
what I mean? If people try to hate and shit, and they're like, I fucking hate them. You know, that Friday night solo, you're hanging there. You're like, oh, they weren't that bad. You know, you think about it, God, and it just makes it more rough, man. But yeah, it's tough and so much. And nowadays, the idea of meeting happens so many ways. The way
yeah.
you know, dating online, we've talked about a ton of them. But now you find all kinds of it's mixed families where it's a kid here, a kid from someone else there, you know, it's much more often you see that.
Yeah.
And there's so many more dynamics now that play into relationships.
There's
like
definitely a lot more obstacles nowadays compared to back then. For starters, the people that are dishonest in their relationship are caught much easier nowadays. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
The dumb Kardashians.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that wouldn't have, but see that, sure, but that doesn't mean it would be necessarily on camera. That maybe that was happening way back then.
Yeah.
You know, and we just didn't know it. But
I think that plays to the divorce rate. You're so right.
You know,
I mean, the fact now.
Other things that probably yeah. could have affected the relationships back then if they had those same resources, like, for instance, like old relationships that you still have that window to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
If in the real life back then, they didn't. Have that reminder of Judy that left him, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, Colin, whatever. I couldn't think of a dude's name. Yeah. I was like, Colin.
Well, I was going like 1930s arrows, like yeah. trying to go for the old name.
Well, I did Judy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I didn't do her, but.
All right. Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
The name. What you can imagine.
Go on.
That's it.
Well, the difference is, I think also too, back then you just didn't get divorced.
Yeah.
You know, you stayed with the guy who beat the shit out of you, period, you know, or cheated,
yeah, right.
or you know, that's just what it did. So I think divorce became easier because the sanctity of marriage is ruined. And I go, mm-hmm. fuck you. Like you said, A, people get caught and B, women back then had barely any freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You could, good luck.
Yeah.
You had no job. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? You're stuck.
Right.
You were done. And four kids later, you know, at 1930.
Right.
What are you going to do? You know, so, and I think.
Nothing.
Right. They got independent and they opened up and got their independence, got freedom. And so then you see this high divorce rate and people chalk it up to, you know, no religion in life or shit like that. I'm like, are you kidding? Religion is what was keeping the marriage rate up. Yeah. Because motherfucker had no freedom. It was against the law almost, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It changes, man. But I don't know. We had a point where we were.
Which talking. One do you prefer?
As far as what?
Time frame. Do you like the idea of the way the relationships and dynamics were working back, say, like in the 50s? Or do you like them the way that they are now?
Oh, now.
Now.
Yeah, and but there's still so much. Again, there's so much more impeding from not just on a health perspective, you know, but a socially health, you know, an environment perspective. There's so many perspectives and add-ins and that play into relationships now that affect relationships. Let me go talk to Mama about what Facebook is doing to my friend's relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's what the counselor would know what the fuck. You know, Freud would be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
You know, it'd be so. It's just the dynamics are so different. You know, I like it now because it's much more of an equal playing field. As far as, you know, the Me Too thing that's coming out, you don't have these boss guys anymore. There's now a mechanism, you know, to release the asshole.
Definitely slowed that down.
We will slow down the age of the asshole male at work. The madmen culture.
And the females too. They're the ones that normally are the aggressors. Believe me, they clinch their butthole too.
Speaking.
Oh yeah. That one experience. Two experiences we had.
Yeah. And you know what? I should probably let you bring it up, but we
both. Talking about the moving place, or
I tend to eat some of my beard there off of the microphone. I'm like, what the fuck? No, I'll walk the story in.
Okay.
Because it hit me kind of like interesting. And I looked at you. I'm like,
you saw the look on my face. Yeah, I was like, bitch.
You almost said something.
I know.
So, I know I'm gonna get stereotyped and everything else here, but fuck it. We're standing in line at the U-Haul and we're ready to move in allegedly and get this truck. And as we're sitting there, there is what my perception brings in is a probably lesbian female. It could be a couple other as well. She could have been open.
I overheard a conversation, so that's why I was able to say she was.
I don't even know if she associated or as being female. I didn't ask her gender, so I don't know what the gender could have been, but biologically she appeared to be female. Okay.
Yeah.
When I said it, I meant the noun itself of not the person. But anyway, there was another female walking outside. Looked like she had rolled up in her dress. It was just a tight look. They were walking inside.
Okay.
Right. And she had come in. Mm-hmm. First, she came in first, sat down, and was kind of acting like she had just looked at something beautiful. She's acting like, wow.
Oh, yeah, different person. Okay, sorry. Right. I thought I was, while you were watching that, I was watching what they were talking about.
Well, it gets there.
The female, yeah.
It gets there. Yeah. So I'm just standing there as she sat confused. Down. And she's all kind of excited, like, whew, like that. And I look up with the people she was working with out there, and it was that lady, the group with the girl who was dressed in her rather provocative tight dress. And that's what she was all warmed about. And this is awesome how two human experiences are two different things. But I think you're just fast forwarding to the end. And I watched the buildup of this thing. And as the lady's walking in this way, she walks in, they have a little talk. She sees the things, is going to help her out. Then she walks out the door. And I'm talking about the woman wearing that revealing dress. So she was a beautiful girl from what I could see. Right. And as she goes to walk out, the woman who worked at U-Haul, who was a lesbian, remarks just like some typical mad men culture male would, where she goes, wow, man, do you remember exactly what she said? It was so apparent, but
I do, but I'm going to tell the story after you said, tell your story.
Yeah. And she goes off basically like, God, man, sexy, says something like that. I don't know what she says, but something pretty like, what the fuck? And then almost talks to her other employee. And about something, says kind of like, wow, man, sexy, something like that to her fellow employee. She's working with somebody in line. I'm in line. You're behind me. And then all that happens right in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I look back at you like, what the fuck? Now, like, if I'm a guy and I do that in front of everybody, I'm hashtag me fucking too.
Right. It's funny because we actually did not discuss this on purpose. So this is the first time we're actually discussing this. Remember you said, no, let's wait until we end up. So I'm going to tell you now what I saw.
Okay.
We're walking in there in the morning. There's, we're the next in line. And
so by the way,
we're sitting up next in line. And I look to my right out the window and there's two females walking. One that looks actually quite young and she has like a sports bra and a nice, you know, big, good looking butt. Right? The tights, this typical, that little outfit, right? Mm-hmm. But she was really young and she didn't actually carry herself like she was looking for something. She actually looked like a girl that just came off of practice or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't. And I was definitely don't think she was. She just happened to look that way and happened to wear that.
No, because you're talking about the woman in the dress.
Yeah.
So there was two women. Oh. But one of them was the girl, and the girl, I call her girl because she was younger.
There were two women.
Yeah. So the female that was behind the desk
we
helping
need to get
us.
You all tapes.
She just goes, so look, we stand up there. We waited patiently in line or whatever. The second we get up in line, she doesn't really acknowledge our existence. She's looking out that window and she goes like this, damn, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out there. You want to cover this? She looks at her guy friend next to her and goes, you got this? You know, like as if we are not important. And so I was, that's why you probably saw me going, what the fuck? Are you kidding me right now? And then she was being a little bit too much like, almost like the, like really just like licking her chops. It was like overly aggressive as far as the people are around that you're supposed to be doing business with. If you're out in the clubs, do it all you want. But the atmosphere was so inappropriate, and that person probably wouldn't appreciate it if she was kind of being made look like a skeptical, you know, spectacle. anyway, so when she got up to go walk over out there and talk to them, even she was even kind of like eyeballing it as she's walking. Like I was expecting her to whistle. It was so.
That's
just,
what I meant by construction worker. Yeah. She had that.
And so no matter what the sex was, if it was a male doing it, I still would have been like, oh my gosh. So if I was witnessing this, or if I was that client, I would have felt like that, like the, geez, could you get a grip? Me too.
Yeah. But now if I'm a, if it, it is a male behind that counter that does that in front of that many females.
Oh, everybody on our side would have been livid.
Oh, you'd have been done, right? You'd have been fired, if not beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I was like, but that's okay. You know, and I'm right. Like, where's the fucking line?
It was a little bit overboard. Normally I would be able to just kind of blow it off, but it was that extreme where people, the females are, you know, complaining about the males doing that. So when I saw another female doing that, I was just like, gosh. And then, you know, you have the other ones too, where that gentleman that told us that, remember I was telling you, I was signing a client, and he was telling us at work that this woman that wasn't even his type of woman, he's a single man, but it still wasn't his type. She would come up behind him and put her boobs on his back to help him with the computer stuff. And he would kind of go like, I got it. Back off. To the point where he got upset, went and told human resources, and she was put in a whole different department and demoted.
Whoa.
So it does happen. Yeah. Yeah, he reported it because he said it would continuously make him uncomfortable because, I mean, but he said he would
report because how long before she goes, he was doing.
Right. But he said it, he would let it go a couple times because, you know, sometimes you can't, sometimes you don't realize that you're putting your boobs on someone.
I don't know what that's like, no.
I've done that before, you know, when you walk into somebody and you don't realize that your actual boobs are touching them.
Well, you lead with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You lead with them.
So, he reported it and it was actually taken care of. And it was funny when he told me the story because it was right when the Me Too thing came out and he was saying felt right.
Like at that era, whether you at that moment, whether you want to or not, to save his own ass, he has to, in case it turns to her going, and he did. You know what I mean? Who knows? For all we know, she was setting him up to be the next Facebook confession. You know what I mean? Where she was going to hashtag me to him at work. She's just trying to help this guy with a computer and he's rubbing on me with his shoulders. You know what I mean?
It
I mean,
is scary.
Yeah. And look, it goes too far, but yet it also needs to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's both. It's so sad that there's so much collateral damage that comes from both sides. I mean, so much, who do you believe happens? Mm-hmm. A lot of real victims get lost, you know, when that happens. But at the same time, with the explosion of it, real victims get heard.
Well, we really haven't heard a whole lot of solutions either.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like guidelines are.
It's like, getting dangerous now, though, because you can just throw that at somebody now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could. Look, I'm just going to say a person I know once was going to use an angle of using a niece or whatever to accuse someone else of doing something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, just to get them to do something else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, man, people just throwing out stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's where that line gets scary is, you know, you want to hear every victim. You want to listen to that. Right. But when people start using that as like a threat or just to do it, you can, whether it's true or not, just the fact that if it gets thrown out there, you're fucked. You know, just...
You can't clean it up the way that you would want to be able to.
Mm-mm,
and that's what they have the power to do.
Yeah, and if you're not Google searching the person you're dating, you should do that first. Just a little shout out to you, buddy. I know you're out there on the road. Love you to death, man. Have fun there, KP.
that's true. I didn't think about that one. That's funny.
I know he's driving south right now. So a little shout out to you, KP, living his dream, driving all over the country and doing his thing.
Yeah, he's figuring out, right?
Yeah, so
living.
So first off, here's, I guess, what we've sort of indirectly built was don't look for love or a relationship on purpose, right? Just live your life. Go to the places that you like to do things and do the things you like to do and meet people there, yeah, rather than forcing them into your life, perhaps. On the first date, find a dial-up computer. Perhaps go to the public library, and they have good internet. But go somewhere, I don't know, have a room rigged at your house and just say you want to show her something and have her bring it up, I don't know, or him, and go on the computer first. Mm-hmm. And then after that, though, make sure, you know, at the end of this, the reason you have to hurry up on the computer, mm-hmm, is because you have to be at the roller coaster or theme park or go skydiving or something adventurous at a certain time. And then after that, what else have we built? Oh, yeah, ask them during the computer after, right, if they get to the
where they want to actually be.
Mm-hmm. Where they want to end up.
Yeah.
And then what, camp out for a year or so? Don't make judgments and see and be willing to cut it off if not.
Yeah. I think...
Oh, my God, it's so hilarious. To watch my human behavior walk us to go, here's the three things you need to do.
Actually, what I was just going to say was, I think just apply less rules and you'll be all right.
I like that.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know, but so many people can subjectively. I can't talk anymore. My gold tooth will be arriving soon.
Oh, baby, you look so cute.
Oh, thank you.
You'll look good with whatever tooth you get.
The gold one will be awesome. But subjectively, though, right? If you're like, there are no rules, I can bang him and a friend, right? Easy killer. No,
those,
you know, that's
given.
All I've been telling them.
That's what I mean. Some things should not have to be spoken. I shouldn't have to say, don't fuck my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's like, what?
Yeah. That's it.
No, that doesn't cross my mind.
Yeah, that's kind of a deal breaker for me. if you're worried about that, check your friends and the other half or quarter or whatever you want to be with it. I don't know.
The other piece.
I'm out of pronouns.
The other piece.
I'm out of pronouns. No. You know, it's getting to be Friday evening.
I was just saying, I'm thinking we should go check out that beach.
Yeah, I think the beach is calling for sure. Beach life. You want to do another one Sunday?
Yeah. That's more... this one, I've actually missed doing this, so it was really kind of fun just to...
You got a quickie.
Yeah.
This has been a he said, she said quickie.
Yeah, maybe not so quick, but it felt nice and quick like that.
Yeah, that's how I do.
Love you.
I never know which one to stop first.
Which one to stop first?
Yeah. Everyone, we're still live.
Probably me.
I know. So, all right. I always stop the recording, right? And here's where
we didn't ever address Alex. Just kidding. Go ahead. I'm just kidding. I was trying to be rude.
Oh, I love Alex. He's cool.
I was trying not to be rude.
So it's either stop streaming, right, from OBS,
mm-hmm,
or I got to have to end live now.
I don't know the difference. Like, why would it be different?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Alex dropped the whole thing here. It's hard to just leave alone.
That's why I said that. I'm sorry.
What is intelligence based on? There are creatures that have lived... I don't have my glasses on, though. There are creatures that have lived far beyond our evolutionary existence but don't have the same functions as we do and are not demonstrating the same of intelligence. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the definition has to be understood even then. It would be, exactly. He's pointing out the idea of what do we call intelligent life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it intelligent life because it does what we do? A little arrogant there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we're always looking for intelligent life. Maybe we're not so arrogant.
You know, Alex is such a deep person. He's so sweet. They're on the road going where?
Yeah, he's on the road. I don't know. He just said he was driving.
Oh, I thought he was going on some nice little big trip.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? Probably. On the road again.
You want to sing a song to me? You always say that. Sing a song.
All right. Now I have to get, hey, Alex, maybe you know, I'm always scared which one to end because Facebook cuts it off so much. Oh. So I'm either going to start or stop on the other screen.
Oh.
Right. This is how it got lost in the abyss last time. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Yeah, it gets lost in the abyss. So, all right. The red or the silver wire?
I know.
Which one are we cutting? We're going to cut this one. I think that one.